always like ending the year with a science net by scientific discoveries throughout the year. And this one here tonight, I just chose to list off the 10 dinosaur discoveries for 2025. First one, in October, paleontologists were able to confirm the existence of Nanotyrannus as being different from the T-Rex. It's a medium-sized T-Rex relative. At first, when they first discovered the fossils of this particular animal, they thought it was maybe a juvenile T-Rex, but they've now discovered, no, it's an entirely different T-Rex species. The next one, a fossil, was discovered that revealed the color patterns of sauropods' skin. And this was written up in the Royal Society of Open Science earlier this month. Sauropods, the big dinosaurs look like brontosaurus, the big long-necked dinosaurs with long tails and a great big elephantine legs. The third one, dinosaur eggs, can be used to date fossil remains. Minerals captured inside the shells of these eggs can be used to get a direct age. And this is written up in Communications to Earth and Environment. The next one, just dropping. Blood vessels. Blood vessels found in a T-Rex rib bone. One of the largest T-Rexes ever found, got a name Scotty. It measured 40 feet long, weighed 10 tons when alive. And remnants of blood vessels were found inside a rib. They presented as mineral casts of the original vessels. And this was published in Scientific Reports back in July. And the next one, dinosaurs, thrived right up until the Chicxulub impact 66 million years ago. And there's a growing body of research, not everyone's convinced yet, but there's a growing body of research that's showing that the world was still teeming with dinosaurs right up to the impact, and they were not in a immediate stages of decline. And it was a whole scientific report came out about that particular theory a few years back, probably close to 3 years back now, where they're conjecturing what it would have been like if dinosaurs had have survived. And it could have been if they'd been if they had have survived, there was a likelihood they could have been ended up evolving into the predominant intelligent species on the planet. We may have still evolved, but we have been in competition with them. The next one here for 2025, if there was a new Megaraptor was discovered, it's dropping. And the Megaraptors, the raptors, may be familiar with those in the different Jurassic movies, have been shown to have been known to science since about 1998, and they were primarily found in the Cretaceous rocks of South America. Most are known only from small fragments, and this is reported in Nature Communications last September, that a partial skeleton, including a significant portion of the skull, was found, arms and legs as well. Next one here, a dome-headed dinosaur. These dome-headed dinosaurs are older than once thought. Just dropping. And these are pachycephalosaurs. And if you were to look up on the internet, get a look at those, they got these funny dome-shaped, lumpy skulls. And most of which is known about these is from their large, thick dome skulls, which preserve. Actually, these skulls preserve better than the rest of the animal, which is why they haven't had a lot of information about this animal, because the skulls tend to be the only thing that tends to survive over time. This was written up in Nature back in September. It's now believed that these dinosaurs existed 14 million years before scientists thought the animal developed its uniquely styled skull. Drop it. And dinosaurs. They found a dinosaur, and they were able to discern what its last meal was. Here's a gigantic sauropod, Dimanitina, Dimanitinosaurus. This was written up in Current Biology in June, described its last meal. It consisted of conifer cones, leaves, of flowering plants and fruit from sea ferns. And these were found in coalites. And coalites are fossilized intestinal tracts and some of the fossilized contents in the tracts. So they were able to find basically a fossilized intestinal tract, and within that they found the fossilized food. And two more to go for this year. Dragon Prince and the T-Rex story. This is written in Nature. This was in the June publication of Nature. And this dinosaur was evidence of a burst in T-Rex evolution. Apparently they crossed into North America 85 million years ago, and some crossed back into Asia, where they evolved into a new form of T-Rex. And the last one here, there's a new armored dinosaur. And this is called Spicomelis. And this represents the earliest ankylosaurs that evolved, and these ones had extremely spiky armor. These ankylosaurs, they look like giant armadillos. They've got a big long tail, look like a big bony knob on the end of it, which is believed they used as a defense mechanism. And these things were huge. They were built like a tank. And this was another example of it, except this one here, instead of having the same sort of plated armor across its back, tend to have more of this spiky armor jutting out from all different directions. And this is VA3CAX, Science and TechNet, coming to you from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, for this Saturday evening, my location here anyways. Any additional stations out there like to join us, or if you have a comment, come on in. And then the next one is about Saturn's moon, Enceladus. It's a continuing target for the search for life. If you'd like to join us, you have a comment, come on in, and then we'll head into this one.
KN4EWT with a quick question.
Okay, come on in.
Yes, sir, I'm about to lose a signal from my node, but if you have a resource where you pull your information, I'd be interested in reading on it. If you wouldn't mind to send that to my email, valid on QRZ, please, sir.
I can. There's no particular source I get my information. I have folks send information in to me. I have friends send information in. I have people who attend this net on Saturday night send information in. I go through it. I research it. Then I'll present it here. So there's no specific place I get it. But what I will do for information that I believe you may be interested in, I will send you the links for that, and you can follow it up yourself later on.
Fantastic, thank you, sir. I'm really liking this. I believe this is my first time checking into it, but good stuff, man. Keep it up. KN4EWT.
And you're quite welcome. Glad you enjoy the net. And the next one here, Enceladus, Saturn's icy moon. It's the target for it's a continuing target for the search of life. There's several places, particularly the giant Jovian gas planets like Saturn and Jupiter. Some of the moons around those seem to be optimal places where life could be. Specifically from the data that they've been collecting from them, in this case Saturn, one of Saturn's moons. There was a new study, and it supports the idea that this tiny moon is a suitable place for life. And data supporting this conclusion comes from Cassini research. This Cassini research was from 2004 to 2017. In 2005, Cassini observed these guys are like plumes of water and ice spewing from cracks in the crust of this moon. A new study has reanalyzed a sample of material from its south pole. And for the most part, analysis of solid particles has only been done on Saturn's E-ring, which is a diffuse disk that surrounds the planet. It gets replenished from plumes emitted from Enceladus. Radiation from space can, over time, alter the characteristics, so it doesn't give the optimal data after radiation has been hitting it for a period of time. Early samples contain sodium salts, which suggest the plumes that are fed by underground liquid water oceans that contact a rocky bottom. And observations later on indicate that Enceladus, it's got a wobble. This moon, it's got a little bit of a wobble to it. And this is due to its icy exterior shell being completely detached from its rocky core. That then means the underground ocean extends across the entire moon. Tidal forces cause the moon to heat up and maintain its liquid ocean. Tidal forces. Our planet, the moon, subjected to tidal forces. As the moon goes around our planet and it pulls on the planet, it causes it to ablate, flatten towards the equator, and the same thing happens to the moon. And that same process is also being exacerbated by the sun. So the pull of the sun is also causing it. So as you're traveling around, as the Earth, let's say the Earth is traveling around the sun, it's compressing and expanding, and as it does this, the motion of this contraction and expansion causes work. That work is translated into heat, so that's what's referred to as tidal forces. So that moon is experiencing that same sort of thing. And the indirect sampling of that ocean has led to a more comprehensive study of the moon's habitability. And they want to determine if it has the necessary ingredients of life. And when trying to figure out the habitability of there's a few things that are crucial to look for. Organics that contain carbon. Life on Earth is fundamentally carbon-based, and finding these would be very promising. Organics were indeed found in the plumes in the form of amines. These are precursors to proteins. Macromolecules were also found. Their current identity is not completely known right now. That's due to Cassini's instrument limitations. Stopping. CNOPs, CNOPs, that's just an acronym. That just stands for carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, phosphorus, and sulfur. Out of all of these, only sulfur has not been detected in the sample. And all of these, including sulfur, are in Earth organisms. And photosynthesis is not likely on Enceladus because of the thickness of the surface ice that prevents sunlight from reaching the ocean beneath. Just dropping. However, there are other ways life can extract energy from its environment. Back in the 1970s, huge ecosystems were discovered within Earth's oceanic depths, and these were around hydrothermal vents. These were rich in nutrients. Organisms living there, these are called chemosynthetic life. They can also be called extremophiles. And some of the ingredients needed for chemosynthetic life are within Enceladus's oceans. In fact, the amount of hydrogen in the plume is so large that it can only be explained if an ocean is present, probably the result of hydrothermal vents. The European Space Agency, they're planning a mission in the 2040s to perform a flyby of that moon, to gather further evidence of life inside these plumes. And this is VA3KX, and we're coming up to the last one here for the evening, and this is about the universe might be lopsided. And there's nothing concrete about this as far as the research is pointing nowadays, is another theory, but there are some aspects of this that are actually quite valid. If you'd like to join us, come on in. You have a comment, come on in. And this last one about the universe, how it might be lopsided. For many decades, scientists have believed that the universe has the same uniformity across it, its entire expanse, or at least from what they can see, the cosmic horizon, as far as science can detect. And a new discovery indicates this might not be the case. If true, this could reshape the way science understands space itself. This was published